evening and welcome to another edition of Midwest Beat. I'm your host, Tom Lounges. As I've been saying all along this month, February is Black History Month. And in respect to that, every February installment of Midwest Beat is part of a month-long series. We've got guest co-hosts, live performers in the studio as we spotlight the evolution of black music in America. Last week, we covered spirituals and gospels and doo-wop. Tonight, we're covering the blues, from acoustic to electric. And in the studio with us, we've got Billy Shelton and members of the Spaniels. We've got Pernell Davis. We've got Linda Walla. And we're going to be joined by phone from international bluesman Joe Louis Walker. So don't you go anywhere. Stay on the dial and get ready to crank it up. We are going to blues it till the cows come home. Good evening, I'm Tom Lounges. It's time for another edition of Midwest Beat, a show all about music and the people who make it. Well, all this month, it's Black History Month, and we are saluting the evolution of black music in America. We covered the gospel and spirituals and doo-wop. Tonight, we're talking about the blues. I've got sitting in musically on bass, the one and only Linda Walla.
Woo!
We've got on guitar over there, Mr. Pernell Davis. We've got members of the Spaniels with us. We've got Billy Shelton. We've got Patrick Petrie. And we've got Mr. Gene Stewart. So we are ready to make some noise. We've also got a phone call coming in a little later from international bluesman Joe Louis Walker. Wow. So welcome back, lady and gentlemen. This has been a fun series. Every week we are touching on different aspects of black music in America, the evolution, and I am learning so much from all of you. It's just an amazing trip that we're taking together.
And I'm learning more from you, so.
Yeah.
We talked last week about spirituals and the difference between spirituals and the gospel, and we ended up with doo-wop. And, of course, spirituals were one of the survival tactics, if you will, of slavery on how black people endured and vented and communicated. And it was pretty fascinating to hear that the songs were a way that they communicated to each other without the slave masters knowing.
Right.
Now, that was a very enriching thing spiritually for them. The blues was born on the other side of the coin, as I understand it. And correct me, please, if I'm wrong, that was born out of the torment and out of the pain and out of the suffering that the people went through.
Right.
So give us a little history, if you can, about some of that early days of the blues and the fields and the cotton fields and the South and how that all came to be.
Well, Tom, I believe that the blues originated because of pain, that's another name for the blues, you know.
Okay.
And I think that's why it took the world so long to understand blues, because you can't really understand blues until you've experienced the pain.
Mm-hmm.
You can't sing with soul if you're on the other side of the whip,
because you don't know. It, Billy. We understand.
You're not experiencing the pain, you know. So that's the way it is.
Well, blues started, as I mentioned, in the fields. It was acoustic. It was the callback response. Today we've got electric blues. We've got a lot of white kids playing the blues.
Mm-hmm.
Where's blues gone? Have we lost the roots of the music, do you think? Pernell, you got the guitar on.
Well, you know, a lot of the feeling has kind of faded away, subsided. But as far as guitar playing goes, our guitarists have to have a little soul in them, period. You know, you have to have a little bit of soul. I mean, any style of music that you play, you have to have that soul into it. And it's like everybody's pretty much dictated to what they want to hear. Okay, you know, like I dictate to you, play a G chord here when you might actually feel a B chord. So, no.
I am feeling a B chord right now. I am feeling it.
But you know what I'm saying.
I understand what you're saying.
My favorite guitarist of all time, I told Billy before, is Roy Clark.
He's a good picker.
My favorite guitarist of all time. Mm-hmm. You couldn't fool him. I don't care what style of music you played, he could cover all of it. So that's a little bit about what I love.
Okay. Well, the blues has definitely changed from the old days. Born in Pain. Today, it's a very popular mainstream music. We've got all different ethnicities playing it in every nation in the world. There's probably still the roots of pain in some of that, but a lot of it is about booty calls. Yeah, when you think about it.
No, he didn't.
The backdoor man. Yeah. I'm your backdoor man. And it's all about lust and partying and having a good time. It's music of the flesh, as I like to say. So it has evolved. It's gone from pain to pleasure in many ways.
That's a good thing.
All right, on that note, before I dig myself a deeper hole, let's talk. Let's perform something. We've got, how about some Muddy Waters? You want to do some Muddy Waters?
Oh, Tom, when I was a kid in Chicago. My parents were church people, you know, mm-hmm. but we would always gravitate towards the bars because I can hear right now the voice of this guy singing in the bar, which was about half as big as the studio. McKinley Morganfield, who is, of course, Muddy Waters. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to do a little Manish Boy. So, Muddy, this is for you.
All right, let's do it. Manish Boy.
Well, everything gonna be all right this morning. Woo!
Two, three.
Now, when I was a young boy, about the age of 5, my mother said I was gonna be the greatest man alive. Now I'm a man, way past 21. You got to believe me, woman. I had lots of fun. I'm a man. I spell M. It's
in.
Not on that spell, man. No
B.
Would child.
Why?
That represent Manish Boy. I'm a man. I'm a hoochie coochie man. I'm a man. I'm a rolling stone. I'm a man. I'm a natural born lover man. Oh yeah. Listen to this. Sitting on the outside. Just me and my mate. I made the moon, woman. Come up 2 hours late. Now wasn't that a man? I spell
him.
It's
A.
In. That represent Maine. No
B.
Woodchild.
Why?
That mean Manish Boy. I'm a man. I'm a hoochie coochie man. I'm a man. I'm a rolling stone. I'm a man. I'm a natural born lover man. Man. Woo, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Woo,
ain't that a man? Manish Boy. Muddy Waters.
Great Muddy, Chicago. Don't be mad at me.
You did him proud. You did him proud. Billy Shelton on lead vocals there. Of course, Linda Walla on bass, Pernell Davis on guitar, and we've got Gene, we've got Patrick singing harmonies over there, doing the popping A's and B's and Y's and having a good time. And it's all about the blues. The field blues to the electric blues is our topic tonight as we continue to salute the evolution of black music here on the Midwest Beat program. And that, of course, is Chicago blues. And I think we're going to take it to the West Coast now. A little different sound there. And we'll talk to Joe Louis Walker, who's got a brand new album out called Everybody Wants a Piece. Joe Louis Walker has been a part of the blues scene internationally for over 50 years. A product of San Francisco and the West Coast blues. He was a former roommate with Michael Bloomfield, hung out with Jimi Hendrix, and well, he's played with just about everybody along the way. I consider him one of the go-to guys when it comes to the history of the blues. While we get Joe Louis Walker on the phone, let's sample something off his latest album. This is Young Girl Blues. In just a moment, Joe Louis Walker joins us. Woo! Lounge is calling, Joe. Nice to talk with you. Joe Louis Walker, you're a Blues Hall of Fame inductee, four-time Blues Music Award winner who's been playing blues for over half a century. The blues were born in the cotton fields and evolved out of spirituals and gospel music. And blues is considered music of the flesh. It's about backdoor men and boozing and lusting. And, of course, gospel is the opposite, and yet both are very passionate musics.
Well, I tend to believe that blues was not born out of gospel. Blues and gospel are cousins. The difference to me between one and the other, one you're singing about your baby, the other you're singing about your God. You know, the music's the same, the singing's the same a lot. And so it's really in the ear of the beholder. I think that blues and gospel, if you notice, there's one thread running through it each. They were both a means to say what you wanted to say in a time and place where you couldn't say what you wanted to say. And there was a cathartic thing. So the blues back in the day were topical, were political, were inspirational, and it gave people hope. It was functional. It wasn't about a $5,000 Armani suit and $500 Ray-Ban glasses and a $250,000 Les Paul. It wasn't about that. You know, and gospel, it was the same characteristics, was that it gave people hope, a way to say what they wanted to say, a way to, on that one day out of the week, to be able to shed the oppressive situation that people found themselves in, and it was a way to vent. And that's what blues and gospel both have in common. But I don't believe the blues came out of gospel. I believe the blues came out of a need to be able to say what you wanted to say everybody just doesn't have blind faith in God, you know. Mm. It's just some people question things. And so some people wanted to have a way to express themselves without getting in and up strange fruit, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Would you say the first true blues rock star, if you will, the first face of the blues was Robert Johnson, going back to the acoustic field blues?
Well, that would be impossible, because Funhouse and Willie Brown came before Robert Johnson, you know. But, Well, it's funny how things change over the course of so many years. But as far as Robert Johnson being the first rock star of the blues, I don't think he was that big in the black community. You know, Funhouse and those guys wouldn't let him play with them until he went away and learned how to play. You know, I think Robert Johnson is a big star because certain people anointed him a big star. That's just being honest about it. You know, but at the time, I don't think he was any bigger than people like Blind Lemon Jefferson. Blind Lemon Jefferson was a star.
I ain't got so many matches, but I got so far to go.
Blind Lemon Jefferson was a star. I mean, you know, it's just that now one or two or three or four people can anoint people as this and that now. And that's fine. I mean, it was great. But as you might know, they've just found out that all the Robert Johnson records were sped up, as a lot of records were sped up. So all that really fast playing and really high singing, his voice wasn't that high, and he didn't play that fast. But he was very, very unique guy, you know?
Other than Funhouse and Blind Lemon Jefferson, who you've mentioned, and of course Robert Johnson, are there any early acoustic blues players you would recommend listeners check out? Blind Willie McTell, Jimmy Reed, any of those guys?
Yeah, well, you just named it, Blind Willie McTell. A Person Gets Lost in the Shuffle is Charlie Patton.
There's a little boat we will keep moving, and I ain't it, Lordy. You be playing your cards and you won't get a heaven thing, Lordy. Oh, we will find your little hole, Lordy. Louisiana, Rin, Texas, little wild, bread and bone, Lord. Well, I saw the bull weave, a lot of snake, a lot of Indiana, Lord.
Charlie Patton, he's the first guy to do Sugar Mama. He's the first guy to do Spoon. For he's the first guy to take the guitar and throw it up in the air and catch it behind his back and all that stuff. But it wasn't a lot of cameras there, you know, and he didn't have, you know, certain gigantic rock stars, you know, redoing his song and singing his praises, because it's a little deep. You know, Blind Willie McTell was a little deep. You're not going to be able to play like Funhouse. You can't play like Blind Willie McTell. You know, you can play like Robert Johnson, you know, but you can't play like Blind Willie McTell, and you sure can't sing like it. You know, I don't mean you, I mean me, I mean a lot of people.
Right.
Because that blues came from somewhere else, you know. It came from a deep well, and it came from a time where, you know, they had to be real careful about what they said and what they did and how they did it and how they said it.
All right, times are definitely different.
Thank you. and your dirty mosquito. You don't mean no one man no good. And you dirty mosquito, you don't mean no one man no good. I don't blame your mama, I'd do the same thing if I could. I ain't got nobody to get my ass on.
When did the blues turn electric?
We all know about the Great Migration. People leaving the South to find jobs. Well, the Great Migration went both ways. It not only went to the North, it went out West. That's where my parents went. Instead of going to Chicago, my dad came to Fresno, California, and Madera, and then Richmond and San Francisco. So I think that people have been playing on plantations and farms and stuff, got to the city, you know, you had to amp it up and ramp it up. You know, nobody could hear you up there playing them acoustic guitars, so you had to make it electric, you know. And the template for that is, of course, Muddy Waters, but he wasn't the first guy that started playing electric, but he's the first guy that, you know, had the quintessential lineup.
Whoa, yeah.
You know, which was two guitars, bass, drums, piano, and harmonica.
Whoa, yeah. Oh, yeah. Whoa, yeah. Whoa, yeah. Want you to rock me. Rock me all. Want you to rock me. Rock me all night long. I want you to rock me like my back ain't got no bone. Sun gone down, moon begin to rise. Sun gone down, moon begin to rise. I want you to rock me till you make me satisfied. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Throw your arms around me like a sack around the sun. Throw your arms around me. Me stick around the sun. I want you to call me daddy. Let me lay down in your arms. See me coming. Run, get your rocking chair. See me coming. Run, get your rocking chair. Well, you know I ain't no stranger. I used to live a chill.
The late, great Muddy Waters, who helped to set the template for the Chicago blues sound back during the Great Migration, when blues came out of the fields of the South and went into the cities and became electric. My guest is Joe Lewis Walker, himself a great guitar player, a professional bluesman for over 50 years. Joe's got a new album out right now called Everybody Wants a Piece, And we're right now talking about how the blues went from acoustic to electric. Joe, let's continue on with the story of the Great Migration.
Well, the Great Migration went both ways. You know, whereas when it came out west, it was horns were injected into it. You can tell Chicago blues from West Coast blues because someone like T-Bone Walker, Lowell, some guys that sell in the West Coast to a degree, they had horns, dance music. You know, in Chicago blues, harmonica was the horn. That's why they called it Mississippi saxophone. And it was like that, a lot of shuffles, slow blues, you know, pretty much rural blues just amplified, whereas West Coast blues was more of jump blues, taking stuff like Count Basie and Duke Ellington and mixing it with Lowell Fulton and, you know, people like that. I'm sort of a, you know, student at a game, but, you know, it's quite obvious the one who put it all together and the template for it is T-Bone Walker. You know, T-Bone can play with jazz guys, he can play with blues guys.
T-Bone Walker and the T-Bone Shuffle. This is Midwest Beat. I'm Tom Lounges, and my guest tonight as we study the evolution of the blues from acoustic to electric is the one and only Joe Lewis Walker. He's got a brand new album out called Everybody Wants a Piece. Along with T-Bone Walker, who we just heard there, and Lowell Fulson, and the three kings of the blues, Albert King, Freddie King, and the late, great B.B. King, who we lost last year. There's some great electric blues players. And Joe Lewis Walker, if you could, who are some that maybe fell between the cracks? Someone you would recommend my listeners check out as far as great electric blues players?
Someone that gets lost is Gatemouth Brown. You know, but I mean, these guys were, you know, doing the okie-dokie stomp and things like this with full horn sections and, you know, swinging pretty darn hard. You know, if somebody wanted to know, you know, that element. And, you know, the other thing with the harmonica, bass, drums, and guitars was, you know, Wolf, Muddy, you know, people like that, Sonny Boy Williams, you know. Then you also had, you know, the wild cards like New Orleans, which is a melting pot for a lot of, a little bit of everything. You know, gospel, Zydeco, blah, 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 blah. I mean, you have that. And you had Texas blues, of course, where Texas pretty much grows guitar players.
Right.
You know, you're not going to hear two bad guitar players coming out of Texas because they just grow them. It's something in about Texas. So it's a lot like that, and there's a lot of stuff still going on in the South. You know, Hill music, which was like Fred McDowell and R.L. Burns. Right? So it's a lot of different styles going on.
What made you want to play the blues, Joe?
Well, it's personal. You know, my mother and father, they brought their music with them from the South, and my dad would, you know, play records for me on his little record player every day when I was a kid. So he sort of attuned my ear to music, and my mother did too, and the older brothers and sisters, and then later on my older cousins had a band. But when I started playing, as most musicians do, I don't know anybody that starts playing and says, oh, I'm going to be a country guitar player. I'm going to be a blues. Guitar just caught my ear. You know, it's like B.B. King. They know him for playing Lucille and the trill with his hands, but B.B. King could play bebop. He could play fluently Django Reinhardt-type jazz. But he was known for one thing, and he was smart enough to know that he could, you know, his fan base was, they were real attuned to what he had created. So instead of, you know, impressing all the other musicians by playing all that complicated stuff, guys like him, Chuck Berry, Scotty Moore, they can play a lot of stuff. But they play what they play, and every time they play it, you feel it. You know, whereas you can hear somebody play all these great guitar solos, and you don't feel a thing. You know, well, they were smart like that.
We just lost BB a few months back, so I think we'd be remiss not to play something from him. The thrill is gone, just like the man, BB King, remembering him on tonight's show. Thank you. Thrill Is Gone, B.B. King. I'm Tom Lounges, and my guest tonight, as we study the evolution of the blues from acoustic to electric, is Joe Lewis Walker. Joe,
buddy guy, commented on how he feels it's sad that so few of today's black youth are embracing the blues, and like you had mentioned, carrying on the tradition and your parents' music, and that a lot of it has been left to the white kids. Joe Bonamassa, Kenny Wayne Shepherd, Derek Trucks, Johnny Lang. What are your thoughts on the state of the blues today as a working musician, as someone who has loved and embraced this music for so long?
Well, you know, I've been hearing that all my life, that young black people are not embracing the blues. I heard that when I came back from playing blues in the 80s. I heard it in the 60s. In the 60s, I used to go hear Taj Mahal, Jerry Ricks, a lot of people. Jimi Hendrix, poor people know him. And the question was the same, why aren't black guys playing blues? I heard the same thing when I was coming out back out in the 80s, Robert Cray, different people like that. Why aren't black guys playing blues? And now, Selwyn Birchwood, Jerrica Singleton, Mississippi, Tyree Neal, Chris Thomas King, Troy Turner, Eddie King. Well, you know what it is? Those guys don't get the press that Derek Trucks, Joe Bonamassa get. And that's just the reality of it. How can somebody like you when they don't hear you? That's the reality. And no disrespect, but reviewers and interviewers promote that by saying over and over again that there's not a lot of young black guys playing blues. That's just totally not true. You know, why don't you guys go find them and interview them like you interviewed Joe Bonamassa a million, a trillion times? Why don't you go find them and interview Jerrica Singleton or Selwyn Birchwood and ask them who are some of the young black guys they play with? And you'll find out. It's a lot of young black guys that play the blues.
Well, Joe, I stand corrected. Let's play one of those hot young talents that you just mentioned. Jerrica Singleton, a little number called Crime Scene. Thanks, Joe, for staying with us on this Black History Month salute.
Thanks much, Tom. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This is a crime scene, baby. Not the kind on your TV. This is a crime scene, baby. But not the kind on your TV. And the victim is me. You know I never had a chance. You ripped the heart right out of me. And now there's a big cold hole where my heart used to be. A mentalist could have seen it coming. Your love was never true. The kind on your TV. This is a crime scene, baby. And the victim is me.
Tasty Blues. My thanks to Joe Lewis Walker for joining us tonight. This guy's been around for years. He started playing. He was in his early teens. He was a former roommate of Michael Bloomfield of the Paul Butterfield Blues Band. He used to hang out with Hendrix in the early days before Hendrix was known. And he's played gospel. He's played blues. He's played with just about everybody over the years. And Joe Lewis Walker, Everybody Wants a Piece, is the new album. You can find out more at joelewiswalker.com. Back again with our guests here in the studio. Any comments on what Joe was saying regarding that that there are a lot of young black guitar players, young black blues artists that we just don't hear about. Is that the problem? Is it the press? Is it us?
I never thought about it, but I can imagine. I can imagine, you know, like, there's people that don't know me. I think I'm decent myself, but...
Mm-hmm. You wouldn't be here if you weren't.
No! But, yeah, you know, but like you said, we need to go out and find them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and bring them to the forefront and... You know, so
maybe we just shine a light too bright on the Joe Bonamassas and people like that in the world. You never know. I mean, they're great players.
Yeah,
but,
you know,
share the wealth a little bit. All and right. I feel, you know, we're going to play more like that last track we just played, you know, Crime Scene. Fresh young talent, never heard it before tonight.
Huh.
But Joe Louis Walker brought him out. I think we all need to do that. Do a little shout out to some of those that influence us and those that we discover. We're going to play some more live music. How about... Well, what do you guys want to play? You're the musicians.
Let's go to Muscle Shoals, Alabama.
All right. Different flavor of the blues.
Yeah. It's just like, it's really like more of a rocky type of blues, but funky blues, but more funky blues.
All right.
Yeah. Mustang Sally.
All right, here we go.
Mustang Sally, wait a minute, I think you better slow your Mustang down, slow it down just a little bit. Mustang Sally, baby, I think you better slow your Mustang down. Hey, slow it down just a little bit. If you don't slow your Mustang down, guess I'm gonna have to put your flat feet back on the ground. Wait a minute. Check it out. All you wanna do is just ride around, Sally.
Ride, Sally, ride.
All you want to do is just ride around, Sally.
Ride, Sally, ride.
All you like to do, fool around, Sally.
Ride, Sally, ride.
All you want to do is just ride around, Sally.
Ride, Sally, ride.
One of these early mornings, you're gonna be wiping your weeping eyes. Wait a minute. Check this out. I bought you a brand new Mustang.
What year was it?
It was in 1965.
Now that was a good year.
You went around signifying one month.
Signifying? What happened?
You didn't wanna let me ride.
Oh.
Mustang Sunday, baby. Think you better slow your Mustang down.
Whoa, hold on.
Slow it down just a little bit. If you don't slow your Mustang down, guess I'm gonna have to put your flat feet back on the ground. Now all you wanna do is just ride around, Sally.
Ride, Sally, ride.
All you wanna do is just ride around, Sally.
Ride, Sally, ride.
All you like to do, fool around, Sally. Sing.
Ride, Sally, ride.
Ride, ride. All you wanna do is just ride around. One more time, fellas. You've been running all over town. Guess I'm gonna have to put your black feet back on the ground. Take me on home.
Woo! All right.
Put your hands together.
Woo!
Ride, Sally, ride. Pernell Davis on guitar and lead vocals there. And, of course, we've got the Spaniels in here. We've got Linda in here and just having a good old time saluting the blues. Again, Joe Louis Walker just joined us by phone. Interesting show tonight, to say the least. We are getting close to the end of the program. But I do want to remind everybody that many of my guests, if not all, are going to be performing at Marquette Park United Methodist.
Oh, yes.
You're going to be doing some, not the blues, but doing some gospel.
Right.
Maybe slip in a blues there. That's Sunday, February 21st, 10:15. I am. Alice and I will definitely be there for that. She reminded me of that actually today. So yeah.
Actually, you will hear a little blues in the music as we go along. So because blues, you know, like how would you say that, Billy?
I don't know. Like Tom says, if he shows up, the church might fall in.
Yeah. Then you will be singing the blues. Now, is everybody here going to be there?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, Linda, are you going to be playing too?
No.
You're not going to be there?
Well, thanks a lot, Linda.
Fine, be that way. Be the only one to back on. We'll have fun without you. So it's the 21st of this month. That's coming up in just, 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks. Marquette Park United Methodist, 215 North Grand Boulevard is where you'll find everybody. And we'll be back next week with Jazz. I have Billy Foster joining me live in the studio, an educator, recording artist. Man, nobody knows Jazz like Billy. He's got his own radio show doing jazz for years, and I'm honored to have him coming in to talk about jazz from bebop to fusion and beyond. We're going to talk about Miles. We're going to talk about Herbie Hancock. We're going to talk about Billy Cobham. I mean, we're going to have some fun with that. And then, of course, we're going to wrap things up at the end of the month. Billy, you'll be here. Billy Shelton will be back to co-host with me. And everybody else is always welcome. Open door policy here.
Thank you.
We'll have Cheryl Youngblood and Say Yes Band will be here, of which you're in Say Yes, correct?
Yes.
See, you're just in everything. So we'll have Pernell here playing. We're just going
to
have a lot of fun. And we didn't hear much from Gene tonight or Patrick. What are your thoughts on some of the blues?
My favorite blues artist is Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Okay.
Was.
Yeah. I remember seeing him at Chicago Fest. He wasn't even announced. I went to see Carl Perkins. And Carl says, before we play, I need to introduce you to some guys that I found in a club. And I think you're going to love them because Chicago loves the blues.
Right.
And they're just going to do a couple songs for you. He brought them out. It wasn't even Stevie Ray. It was just Double Trouble. They played a handful of songs. And Carl came out and said, see, was I right? And everybody applauded. And that was the first and last time I ever got to see him. No, I take that back. I saw him with David Bowie on the Glass Spider Tour.
Oh, wow.
So that was...
lucky. You were lucky, man.
Yeah. That was some fun stuff. Gene, what about you? Who's your favorite bluesman?
Well, B.B. King has always been my favorite. I remember back in the day... The guys used to have contests. Oh, no, I'm B.B. King. No, I can play better than you, man. No, I'm the B.B. King. But, you know, B.B. had that style that reminded me of a preacher.
Mm-hmm. Didn't he do gospel?
He did.
He was a radio DJ, man. Right. That man did everything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Blues boy king, Riley King.
I love B.B. King because he brought a certain class to the blues. Whenever he would go to town, a new city, the mayor would come with the key to
the city.
That was the type of reception that he got.
I remember B.B. telling me, I interviewed him for Scholastic years and years ago, 79, I think, and he said, if somebody comes up to me and says, hey, Riley, he goes, I know them from the old days. He goes, nobody knows me as Riley. Of course, now the internet, we all do, but we're down to about 3 minutes. Let's take it out with a song. How about something from somebody we haven't featured yet? You want to do who?
Little Milton.
Little Milton? All right.
1, 2, 3, 4. It's time to go. You know what? I feel so bad. I feel like a ball game on a rainy day. I feel so bad. Feel like a ball game on a rainy day. Since I lost my baby, I shake my head and walk away. Walk away. Sometimes I wanna stay here, then again I wanna leave. I don't wanna leave. Sometimes I wanna leave here. again, I want to stay. I just can't make my mind up. I shake my head and walk away. You know what? Hey, you know that I feel so bad. I said I feel so bad. I feel so bad. I said I feel so bad. I feel so bad. Feel like a ball game on a rainy day. I think it's time to go home, y'all. Since I've got my clothes back, I catch me a train and ride away. Gonna ride away.
Woo, woo. All right.
I feel so bad we got to say goodbye here. But we will be back next week as Black History Month continues with Jazz and Billy Foster in the studio. Again, our fourth week, we've got Cheryl Youngblood and Say Yes performing live in the studio. Well, that music tells us that it's time to go home. And with that, I want to remind you that this Friday, listen to my A Look at the Art show at 1 o'clock on Friday. I'll have the legendary Lloyd Price as my guest. He'll be talking about his brand new book, Some Dumb Honky. So join me for that. I promise you it's going to be an interesting, interesting show. That's Friday at 1 o'clock. We'll catch you next week. Say goodnight.
Woo!
Linda raised her hand.